Dykes again in studio with us. I'm going to have him back on Friday for another full hour to really vet this out. In part one, we got into the founding of eugenics, how it all started. In like a minute or two, Aaron, recap that. And again, we're doing this because we did all this research for Endgame, and we just can't wait with this info. We have to get it out to you now. Plus, we have to condense it down in the film. And on Friday, we'll play some of Tomorrow's Children clips and some of the movies that popularized and tried to legitimize forced sterilization and infanticide here in the U.S., people being hauled off to jail to have their organs cut out. Sounds like China today. And then let's get into after World War II, or I think we gotten up to World War II, and then the new names today and how it governs our society. Aaron Dykes.
Yeah, absolutely. We're talking about how sterilization, forced sterilization, laws about marriage, laws to selectively breed, and eugenics policies in Germany didn't arise in Germany, didn't come from Hitler and his extreme ideas. It came out of Britain. It came out of social Darwinism. It came out of science at that age and spread like wildfire through America, amongst our elite societies, and then down to common people as well. And it all started with Darwin's theories on evolution. And, you know, he, of course, developed the idea that heredity and change and mutation drive things. And his cousin, Francis Galton, ran with the ball from there. He seized upon that idea and wanted to apply it to mankind. And from there, we have horrible things. We have eugenics, which is breeding people selectively and forcibly sterilizing people and wiping them out.
And just studying how neurotic and control freak-like, whether it was England, Germany, Italy, Mexico, the U.S., these little neurotic twit classes were, and how they would just run around grabbing completely healthy people. I mean, it's bad enough to sterilize, you know, poor mentally retarded folks, who, by the way, selectively weren't even going to breed anyways. They would just run around doing this. I mean, the big picture here is most Americans, most people globally, don't know what eugenics is. And, number two, they don't know how then it changed into all these other things after the war, and how it is the governing system of the Club of Rome, the CFR, the New World Order, Prince Philip, Prince Charles, of course, Prince Bernhard, and the Queen of the Netherlands. I mean, this is all they write about. This is all they say. Let's come up to World War II and Joseph Mengele and his boss and how they were protected. I mean, let's walk through that.
That's right, Alex. And this isn't like 9/11, where even though the evidence doesn't add up, even though the people know, they at least still have their official story. This is an open secret. This is history. It's not in your history book, probably, but it's mainstream history. And we were talking about how the Carnegies and the Harrimans and the Rockefellers bankrolled these scientific institutions to pursue eugenics systematically, to spread sterilization laws and marriage laws, 30 of them in the United States at the height, in about 1935, something like 25, a couple of years earlier.
That doesn't matter. Keep going.
It doesn't matter. And Hitler was inspired by Davenport, Laughlin, and other directors, Madison Grant, who wanted to exterminate people and wrote books on the passing of the great race, which refers to the Nordic race.
And Hitler said that was his Bible. And to be clear, I don't mean it doesn't matter that they did that in 30 states. I mean, you know, 25 here, 30, you know, at the peak. It's just the point.
It was a movement. That's the point. This was an entire movement of history, and most of us know very little about it until we do research.
So the war ends, though, and Hitler's killed millions. The war's killed over 20 million people total just during the war. And what happens to these top Nazi eugenicist scientists? You know, we know about the rocket scientist and the jet scientist, but what, I mean, who are the British and the U.S. really after?
Well, we have the Nuremberg trials, where the entire world is freaked out. We've just found out how far eugenics has gone, and all the atrocities of the Holocaust and everything. But behind the scenes, the British science circles are lobbying to not prosecute these scientists. They want to continue to collaborate with them because they've got parallel offices in their royal institutions. They don't want to throw these guys in jail and kill them. They continue to research with them. Guys like Otmar von Buescher, who was Mengele's boss and ran the eugenics division of Kaiser Wilhelm, was not prosecuted. He continued operating under, you know, the title eugenicist. I mean, not eugenicist, genetics.
So, and that's a key. When the war ended, they stopped calling it eugenics, and they call it environmentalism, they call it conservation, they call it post-human, trans, human. There's a bunch of these terms, and they openly said, we are going to be crypto-eugenicist. We're going to take over society. The National Birth Control League becomes Planned Parenthood. There were some other key buzzwords where they change the name of sustainability, the sustainability movement. And literally, so when you see these big environmental Live Aid concerts and things, you're there because you want to save the earth, and there are some problems. There is some environmental problems. No. They're there because they want to set the precedent that man is bad.
Yeah, it's just like out of Bilderberg this year, Jim Tucker reported the buzzword is going to be sustainability, conservatism, conservationism. It's the same thing out
Stay
of
there.
Eugenics.
Stay there. It all comes out of eugenics. We'll be right back.
We're on the march. The empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Are you concerned about the high cost of prescription drugs? Since January of 2006, RxDrugCard.com members have saved an average of $33 per prescription filled. That's over 46% savings. The average savings for generic drugs was over 71%. RxDrugCard.com is the only major discount prescription drug plan that offers a price lookup page, so you can get an idea of your discounted price before you enroll. RxDrugCard.com is for anyone who pays for their own prescriptions. There are no age restrictions, all prescriptions are covered, and 95% of all pharmacies in the U.S. participate, including Walmart, Walgreens, CVS Pharmacy, and many more. With RxDrugCard.com, you will save immediately with no messy forms or paperwork. Membership fees start at only $4.50 per month and include a 30-day unconditional money-back guarantee. Visit us at www.rxdrugcard.com or call us at 888-216-2461. That's 888-216-2461. Do it today.
One of America's greatest patriots, Patrick Henry, said, "Give me liberty or give me death." It was Patrick Henry who forced the Bill of Rights to be added to the Constitution, your unalienable or unchangeable right to religious freedom, freedom of the press, freedom of speech, or the right to own a gun. There are certain movements underway to strip you of these unalienable, unchangeable rights today. To help you grasp the loss of these freedoms, we'll send you absolutely free a one-year subscription to Newswatch magazine. Just call 1-800-516-8736. That's 1-800-516-8736. It's absolutely free. Operators are standing by to assist you. Just call right now.
People who use Cartabite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartabite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartabite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, in herbal formulas like Cartabite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, few months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at www.heartdrop.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
Strange days have found us.
Here in studio with me, and for people watching out there on the internet at a later date at PrisonPlanet.tv, the point we're trying to make here to everybody is that we have been studying, I have been studying the New World Order for more than 15 years, on air for more than 13 now, or coming up on 13, I forget, I need to count it up. you study, you learn, you look at things, and I go off what I can prove. I go off what I can document. I go off these patterns. And really, I always knew eugenics was a governing force. I knew the elite always thought they were better than us. They had scientific rationales and pseudoscience excuses for killing people en masse and sterilizing. I knew that their great goal was to reduce 80% of the world's population. Ted Turner says 95% in Autobahn magazine. And I knew that the eugenicists, about 110 years ago, they spawned conservation. They spawned environmentalism. They spawned all these terms. So it isn't like they invented those, because people say, what do you mean in 45 they became these? Those were already there. If you go study, they all founded those too. I mean, it's incredible. And then some will say, well, you know, it is tough to say it, but we need to get rid of the infirm, and we need to get rid of the retarded, and we need to get rid of the mentally ill, and we would make things better. And the earth is, maybe they had a point. Oh, maybe, and I've heard liberals say maybe Hitler had a point, and he was a socialist. Point is, anytime you try to manage and centralize, it will be abused. And the type of people that want to make the decision on who's sterilized are sickos. I mean, it's the same little twitly control freak types. I mean, I've seen them in my own life, that same look. Just want to punch them in the teeth. Look at these photos of these Nazis and watching these films of them, and these Brits and these Americans, and they're always had their gentlemanly, and they all twit around and how they're better than everybody. And of course, usually they go to mental institutions, they've got mental problems, they're perverts, they go to jail. I mean, it's a bunch of sickos. A normal person just wants to leave everybody alone, live their life. And of course, eugenics was saying we'll breed people and get super brains. Actually, when you breed people who are super intelligent, you tend to get mental patients out of it. You tend to get people who have mental disorders. The major studies that have come out, and this actually came out at eugenics conferences, people who were against it would stand up and show their real scientific studies that it was just average families, average or even lower intelligence, tend to produce the super geniuses. But see, another thing is everything flies in the face of what eugenics said as well. It is the randomness of breeding and the selection process, and it is literally space rays and sunbeams, you know, different types of radiation that are altering the DNA, that are you know, giving rise to the variety and the mutations. And then I want to get into some argument. That is the science of it, and that's how God does it. And we're only beginning to understand this. But, so there's a lot of, like Dr. Pianca here at UT in Austin, he said, 90% need to die, needs to start soon. It's going to be a great thing. We need a police state like China has. This is a quote to enforce the one-child policy. And then his students were online, and we read their graduate papers saying, well, most of the class wants to kill everybody. All humans must die. So, see, it's the perfect religion, and it's what it is. It's a religion. I was watching the Earth, Live Earth Aid concert this weekend, and they had it from the Vatican. They had it from other places. They were saying it was a religion. I mean, this is the new religion. It's the religion of death. So we're up to World War II. They protect all these people. They bring them back here. They turn into crypto, what they call crypto. In fact, you have those documents. Go through those for people, Aaron. Go through the crypto eugenicists, how they change the names. You've got hundreds of documents. It doesn't matter if you can't find it. Just start going through what happened from 45 after.
That's right. We're talking about how their key buzzword, eugenics, which literally swept into a movement throughout the Western world, was ruined by everything the Nazis did, and they had to take it underground. They had to revoke their name of eugenicists publicly. They had to publicly renounce and then continue their work as anthropologists, as biologists.
But then they were made the heads of the UN programs. They were they were put in chief positions everywhere. Kurt Waldheim, the Nazi, was made UN Secretary General. My point is, they were put in all power positions.
That's right. That's the real key. While there's a political hanging of the Nazi regime, behind the scenes, the scientific community kept its own, retained, and continued their programs through genetics and everything else. And of course, the real technology does advance, but the key thing throughout it is the social control. While the geniuses really come from random breeding and nature has a mind of its own, what they really want through conservation and eugenics and selective breeding is societal control of everyone. That's the key, just like in Brave New World.
And now we've learned that in the 20s they were saying they were going to herd us into tiny cities. What we found is that they're sticking to the same plan. They're sticking to stuff developed at the latest 80 years ago, and some of it 150 years ago. Hell, some of it by Malthus in 1795. I mean, they're just sticking to it. But when you think about it, Rockefeller and all these people, a lot of them were born, you know, in 1907 and stuff. So this is still new to them. This is their plan.
Yeah, that's right. The Rockefellers just so happen to be everywhere that conservation is. John D. Rockefeller Jr.'s got his hand in Bureau of Social Hygiene. And today they're pushing HPV vaccines, quote, worldwide, which happens to be the same phrasing they used when pushing eugenics and supporting the Nazi programs.
One less.
A worldwide campaign.
Yeah.
A worldwide campaign. Going back to Malthus, who believed that...
Oh, no, that's a key. When World War II ends, the Rockefellers increase funding of eugenics, and were so arrogant they even kept the names eugenics. Okay, they're not playing games. Continue.
Yeah, sterilization did not stop when eugenics became unpopular.
By the way, I went to Margaret Sanger Elementary School when we lived in Dallas, and they had a statue over there. And the school was like half black. It was a big sick joke, you know, exterminate the blacks. And the little black kids and all the other kids are sitting around on the statue of Margaret Sanger, who called blacks scum and had to be killed. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's right. But she had the black leaders like W.B. Du Bois, who formed the NAACP. She had him in her pocket, and they were working together. And they would exchange letters. Let's not let the blacks find out we do want to exterminate them. And if they do... We know where to keep control. It's with the black pastors.
I'm glad you mentioned that. Find that letter. I forgot to do that in the voiceover. We've got to add that to the film. That is key. Go ahead.
Yeah, we'll grab that.
Of course, we'll be called Al-Qaeda or probably be called racist for saying we shouldn't kill all the blacks.
Yeah, it happened.
No, that's how it works. When you're against Arnold for being a Nazi, you're now a Nazi.
Happen to not be in favor of that.
Well, but you're evils because you don't want to kill them. Go ahead.
But yeah, like I was saying, sterilization does not stop when eugenics becomes unpopular. It remains on the laws in many states in the United States until at least 1953 at a conservative number.
It really went on until 87.
Continues on the books, on the law, heavily promoted in Canada and Sweden until the late 70s and Australia, everywhere else in Europe. It goes on and on.
And folks, in between their vacations, in between their mistresses, in between buying fine art, all they do is talk about how they want to kill us. It's every waking minute. They go to conferences. They finance it with their own money. They give billions. Ted Turner, again, out of one side of his mouth, we got to get rid of 95%. The other side, I have a special injection for the baby. How obvious is it, Aaron? And then we find out these UN vaccines are indeed sterilizing the women. These people are just...
Yeah, the sterilization in the third world is absolutely abominable. It's hard to even wrap your head around.
It's going on right now.
And the Club of Rome writes about the limits of development, which all comes right back to Malthus, the idea of the population collapse being likely but also being planned and facilitated and led on, because when you cull off that portion of the population, they believe that's one of two steps. That's the negative eugenic side to fostering in this new super race.
I remember in high school I had a teacher, and I didn't know what she was talking about, but she was a big liberal, what you'd call a liberal, really a fascist pig. And, again, most socialists who think they are really just a pit of hell. And I remember her going, oh, after the Renaissance was caused because half the population died. It's good when they die. And, I didn't know. I mean, this is their religion. It's, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Aaron. Okay.
Yeah, I want to switch gears just a bit and get into one of the few critics of eugenics who was also probably the first anti-vaccine activist, and that's Alfred Russel Wallace, who really has a pretty strong stake in being ahead of Darwin with the theory of evolution.
Oh, there's been whole books written about how, of course, Darwin was this inbred twit, not even smart. He stole it all from him, yeah, of course.
Yeah, I mean, you can kind of debate whether he stole it or whether different scientists influence who, but the point is that Alfred Russel Wallace published his findings in 1858. He's a middle-class guy without connections into these British...
That's many years before, yeah.
Yeah, well, it's 1 year before Darwin. He publishes a year later, conveniently.
He must have published, I guess Darwin published another big paper 5 years later because I was looking at a report, but go ahead.
I mean, they all did years of work, no, obviously, but the key Origin of Species was published 1 year after Wallace and heavily draws from Wallace. And it's, you know, on one hand, it's kind of a middle-class struggle because these elites kind of snub him. And later, when he becomes an anti-vaccine campaign, he not only doesn't trust governments in general due to their influence and agendas in pushing things like vaccines, he also thinks that the risk in terms of science outweigh the benefits, and they just scoffed at him, of course. And look what vaccines have done today. Look what they're still pushing.
Well, actually, vaccines have caused an increase in disease. And we have all the graphs from Australia, the U.S., everywhere. And they all show the exact same thing. It's incredible. With hygiene and sewage systems being put in and rodents being reduced and fleas and ticks, really with pesticides and soaps, you see disease go like this until about 1920. Then when vaccines come back in, now remember, here's the high of disease. It goes down. Here's how the graph looks. It goes down, 1920, and then it goes back up and then planes off. Vaccines actually cause more. But just...
Yeah, and that was actually one of the arguments Wallace made, that it was sanitation and new developments in that department, which were really...
But it's just absolute fact. It's absolute graph. It's just, there's no debating it. Every country, same graph, exact same line. Because they're all under the same British eugenics control, so they all bring this stuff in at the same time. Again, because they love you so much, they want to put something special in you. And the Rockefellers, at the very time, are spending millions, and this is in 1920s money, on how to isolate cancer viruses and how to put them into stasis. Go ahead.
And Alfred Wallace, who not only developed evolution on the one hand, but also pursued spirituality, not even like Christianity, just general, there is a spirit, there's some kind of thing. He was further laughed out by these scientists whose own religion relies in the science itself and everything they're doing. And that's kind of where it branches off into a separate side, is their utopian belief. I mean, it's one thing to see a pattern of hereditary and study it and ask, you know, where do traits come from? Is it influenced from our family as well as our environment? But they immediately pursued it. When Galton developed eugenics, he didn't research it to find out if it's a legitimate thing. He embraced it in a utopian way, spread it through society, and by the time he died, he had a work. Galton had a work he had been working on for 10 years called Can't Say Where, which was a utopian society fostered by eugenics and complete social control. And he was too embarrassed to publish it, wanted to burn it. But you could see he had tied his own ideas and beliefs into that, something that you'll see also in the Rockefellers, also in H.G. Wells.
And they didn't destroy it. The elite grabbed it and are trying to implement it.
That's right. And then you got guys...
I mean,
like,
folks, we got Wells in what you're talking about, atomic weapons that they already had?
1915.
Yeah, folks, they're suppressed a lot.
He doesn't only predict the atomic weapon. He predicts a war of Axis powers of Central European versus allies, ending their war with nuclear bombs.
And then you get the Carol Quigley documents, where he documents how this group of British bankers headed by the Rothschilds literally funded Hitler. Then you find out it's right where they funded him to tear everything up. And then you've got Wells writing books about how they're going to do it. I mean, it's just incredible.
And the key to the New World Order, which is always involved with this eugenic stuff, is Wells foresaw this bomb bringing in, his story is called When the World Was Set Free. It's about how after the bomb, a socialist world government comes.
And he also does that with things to come. Where these black stealth bombers land with guys in spacesuits and bring in the one world government and enslave everyone, but it's wonderful.
In fact, a lot of people are surely familiar with a lot of Wells' work, but I want to read some of his titles that kind of give you a hint into his belief in utopia and world government. And some of them are A Modern Utopia, The New World Order, The Open Conspiracy, A Blueprint for World Revolution, which, by the way, he advocates being silent and slow and...
don't ever let them know you're doing it. Just be, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's like they deny there's no North American Union. There's no... Saturn's closer to the sun.
And he also has The Shape of Things to Come, which was also made into a movie, where, again, he foresees a technocracy where scientists rule. It's not democratic. It's not a republic. It's ruled by scientists.
And in truth, it's a bunch of pedophile old men who are completely insane.
Mm-hmm.
Running around talking about how they're scientists drinking tea all day. I mean, that's what we found, ladies and gentlemen. We can conclusively report to you here with a complete psychopath run everything. Sorry, go ahead.
Not to distract, it's a big issue. On another side of the coin, Alfred E. Wigham, who was the Protestant, he was kind of the religious side of eugenics. He
Jesus,
was the one.
Yeah,
he believed, he at least claimed that Jesus would be president of the Eugenics Society. Or the Eugenics Congress, he actually called it, but he was trying to infuse...
It's the opposite. He said, what you do to the least of these, you do to me. But no, they're all about killing the weak.
Yeah, the meek shall inherit the earth, so we must kill the killed through eugenics. But, yeah, Wiggum not only believed these kind of things, he wrote his new Decalogue of Science, where he believed eugenics was the duty of man, that science was the duty of man, and also had a commandment about the duty of internationalism. So you can see this New World Order.
That's all they talk about is get rid of America, take the guns. They say we're going to enslave everybody, but it's going to be so great. I mean, folks, you ought to read. And then we got Richard Nixon, all these people agreeing later. I mean, every president, if even Kennedy's in there, man, they just run everything, man. They are sick. Mm-hmm. They are sick, sick, sick. They're also wrong about stuff over and over again, but they don't care. They go, we failed three times our New World Order. We'll now be trying again. We've got all their quotes. I mean, we actually went and bought the books, folks. Aaron?
Yeah, that's true. And that world, a brave new world, where the society controls breeding, and at best you're repressing your nature by, you know, agreeing to be a part of the society, it pops up again. It's the same thing they're doing. It's Kissinger and food as a weapon. It is...
Well, here's the deal. Friday, and plus we're doing the final research on that. We're doing the voiceover right at the end of the film now for, you know, the current and then future eugenics. Let's collate all that on Friday, have you in for a full hour on the present and the future. We're now up to like the 50s. Let's go through 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, and then get into the current and then future. Maybe even an hour and a half on Friday, Aaron. You've done a great job, and I really appreciate you coming in and talking to us. We're going to post part one, part two, and part three on the internet at prisonplanet.tv for all the folks that are out there. If you're watching this later on YouTube or Google Video and you want it higher quality, be sure and get a membership at prisonplanet.tv. And you also support our work here, and we're able to finance this fight here. We don't have the Rockefellers funding us, folks. We'll be right back with the final segment. Thank you, Aaron Dykes.
Baby, baby, I'm going to leave.